Shorty a goodie, my cousins are crazy, my cousins like Boogie. Life is amazing, it is what it should be. Been here for 10, but I feel like a rookie. I tell her, look up, cause it's snowing in Tootsies. Booked for 3 years, man, you can't even book me. It's me and Lil Baby, the going crazy. Weezy produced it, and Weezy F made me. And she held it down, so she got a Mercedes. Your money records, the
only. Welcome into the show. I'm your co-host, Trey Benson. I'm joined by Jason. The Jason Media.
What up, what up? It's quadruple J.
Coming at you live. Jaren Jackson Jr. Watch out.
Yeah, I could take him on one-on-one.
I doubt it. He would.
You don't believe in me, dude?
He would eat you up, bro.
Just pick a spot. If there's like the 4-point shot, like in the big three, I could take him, dude.
Bro, I've seen you shoot a ball before.
No, just like if you gave me like a 6-month heads up and all I practiced were 4-point shots, I could do it.
Like Karate Kid.
Yeah, just practice one thing. What, that Karate Kid? Karate Kid, I don't know. He was just the only brown kid, I guess. Did he fight another like minority?
He was not a brown kid. What are you saying? He was a white guy. He's a white kid.
Karate Kid? Are you kidding me? Have you seen Karate Kid?
Talking about the one with Will Smith. Trey's talking about the older one. I think it was in the 80s.
What? No, Karate Kid was like Hispanic.
No.
Look it up.
Definitely white.
Oh, yeah. He's a Jewish kid from fucking New York. That's exactly what that movie is. Look up the poster, dude. Look it up. A double dog dare you.
There's no way.
100%.
How's your week going?
I'm pretty good. Scuffed as usual.
Get your PC? You getting your PC?
I'm getting my PC tomorrow. I'm putting it together so I can finally help you to, you know, edit this shit.
Yeah, we'll see about that. We'll see about that.
Hey, it's gonna be a nice PC.
What games are you gonna get for it?
I don't know, but the Steam summer sale is coming up, so I might buy a bunch of shit. I don't know how much money I'm gonna have left, though. But whatever. So I looked up. His name is Ralph Macchio, and he's Italian, so he's definitely brown.
who plays him?
His name is Ralph Macchio.
Daniel LaRusso plays Ralph Macchio, and he's definitely white-looking guy.
Oh boy, he's essentially black in that film because there's like no other brown people in it. If I'm even remembering it correctly,
he is not brown.
I honestly don't know. He's brown compared to everybody else.
There's
melatonin in his skin compared to everybody else, except for Mr. Miyagi is.
Bro, you need to check your eyes. That shit weak.
Italians are minorities, right?
I don't know about that one. Jackie, right. What do you think? What do you think? Are Italians minorities?
We need a verdict.
No.
Well, I guess the judge has spoken.
Boppity boopy.
The boopity.
All right, let's go into the rewind. So CBS signed Tony Romo to this fat-ass deal. I think he's going to be making $17 million a year for a 10-year contract. So whatever you think about that, he's been a relatively successful football host. He's made his like trademark off predicting plays before they happen, and half of the time he's right and everybody's blown away by it. He's really taken his mediocre Cowboys career and turned it into like the most successful commentator career. So he's managed to make everybody forget that he was a pretty mediocre quarterback at Dallas.
Yeah, I think that's what made him like a pretty good quarterback, was that he just didn't fuck up. He just was like pretty smart with the ball, I guess. But like, guess where, okay, this goes into our next segment, but guess where he ranks If he was a paid quarterback today, being paid $17 million, guess who where he ranks as far as quarterback salaries per year compared to the rest of the NFL? Like, who gets paid less or more than Tony Romo? Just quarterbacks.
That's a pretty, middle-of-the-road number. I'd guess he's probably, 22nd.
Ooh, you're pretty close. You're pretty close. We're just throwing out a number. It was pretty close. So he's the 17th most paid quarterback, but as an announcer. So he beats Andy Dalton, is right below him at 18, at $16 million. And the quarterback right above him is Cam Newton at $20 million. That's pretty insane. Everyone below him, though, other than Andy Dalton, is basically a rookie. So you got Jacoby Brissett, Kyler Murray, Baker Mayfield, everybody on their rookie contracts being paid $15, $8 million a year and stuff like that. So it's not crazy, but he's definitely top percentile earners if he was just in the NFL making $17 million a year.
How do you feel about just commentators getting that much money? I mean, do they really affect the enjoyability of an NFL game that much? Does it really come down to who's the announcing crew? Because we did have, Joe Tessitore and Booger McFarland, and they were highly criticized on most of their, Monday night games. But, it really didn't matter too much because you still watch the football game. I think it really comes down to the who's playing that night, and you're going to tune in no matter who's hosting.
At the end of the day, it's just the ratings for the NFL were still up this year, if that makes sense. So Booger McFarland didn't really have an impact. The NFL's been going up year after year, so I don't think it matters that much. I think Tony Romo seems like an insightful person, and you can have him for multiple years. I think that's how good he is. Like a boomer, or you can put him in different roles. He host ESPN if he really, really wanted to. I think he can do multiple stuff for CBS. Right, that's the company he works for.
Yeah.
He could do multiple sporting events for them. I think he's a pretty insightful dude, and you could just keep on making money off of him, I guess. And I just don't think he's offensive. I don't know. I can't imagine John Gruden, if he was still announcing, commentating on soccer or tennis or something. But you could probably throw Tony Romo in one of those just to host, right? Does that make sense?
Honestly, I don't know. I don't even know what you're saying right now, man. It was a long-ass Tony Romo rant.
So you're saying that Tony Romo traded in his mediocre NFL career for a mediocre sports commentator? Since no one really gets mad at him, he doesn't have any really hot takes.
Well, yeah, essentially. I don't think hot takes makes you a high-paid person. I think he's just consistent, and it's one of those jobs where you can't just keep on cycling through people. You can't, every Thursday just test out. Well, now that I think about it, what if you did do that? Every Thursday was a different announcer, and they were just, testing people out. I mean, that wouldn't make the Thursday night games worse by any means. I think it would, spark discussion, too. I don't know. I mean, it's just kind of one of those things where you can't really test people out, or they're too scared or don't want to.
Yeah, the main job is as color commentators is to carry the conversation from when there's no play going on, when there's a timeout or there's nothing really going on. So they had to do those breakdowns, and they can either be insightful or informative, or they could be funny or break down the play really well. It just varies, and that's what Booger McFarland got all caught up on. He kept on saying the same things when analyzing the defense rush. He would say what is he saying? They rush on the inside, or defenses he came on his back.
Yeah. He just, like, I don't know, he might be insightful, but the way he put it together was pretty trash. And, like, he just threw out takes that were, like, very surface level, I guess. I didn't really pay much attention. Like, I don't pay attention enough to announcers to really care what he had to say. I think, like, Romo, for some reason, because, like, I heard that he was pretty insightful and, like, he would draw stuff on, like, the screen and like, call plays perfectly, is the reason why I pay attention. Like, it actually, like, bothered me that Booger McFarland, I just, like, after the fact, heard, like, a compilation of him literally getting stuff wrong every play and just saying the dumbest things.
Well, he'd be like, after a touchdown, they're going to go for a field goal here, Mike.
I think they might run here. And then it's like a play action pass.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we'll look forward to hearing Tony Romo for a long time. I think Al Michaels is rumored to be going to ESPN. And it's like a big bidding war, I guess, for these color commentators. I mean, it's pretty crazy that you can make this much money when your job is basically fly out, go watch a game, color commentate on a weekend. So you have a maybe one and a half day of work every week, and then just the rest of it is off. It's pretty awesome.
You think it's fair for, like, the NFL players to be kind of mad at that? Because, like, the announcers are getting paid $17 million, but most of the NFL isn't. And, like, they're negotiating their CBA right now with the collective bargaining agreement. And they're like, what the hell? Like, these announcers are getting paid more than I am? And I don't even have, like, very good health benefits and stuff like that. I have to advocate for, like, to be here. Like, that's kind of messed up. Is there any, like, weight to any of those complaints?
Well, just get good, bro, and then you can get paid a lot more than Tony Romo.
I mean, I guess that is kind of how I feel about it, too. It's like, Tony Romo, I mean, like, of course it's a bunch of luck. His job isn't hard by any means, but they also, there's just so many spots open for announcing jobs on huge fucking networks. So I don't think it's a little bit of luck. Same way, like, I don't know, you play in the NFL, you're probably top percentile of all athletes. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. So Tom Brady rumors are still piling up. Nobody knows where he's going. He's been pretty vague in any interview or any video he's been in. And I think a big, Julian Edelman's been toting his flag and trying to get him to come back to the Patriots. I don't know anymore. He's been pretty open-ended about it. I do think he still will be with the Patriots. I don't know where you think he's going to go.
Yeah, I know. Like, the boring answer is like, oh, he's just going to go to the Patriots. And I think it'd be kind of fun to see him in, like, a Raiders uniform or, like, play for Gruden. They should be mic'd up every game. If they do that, they have, like, part of his contract should be that Gruden has to wear a mic that's directly to the teleprompter, to the feed on national television. And Tom Brady also, when he eventually gets mad at Gruden, and they're just screaming at each other because neither one of them wants to back down.
There's one rumor that he was going to go to the Titans because he knows Mike Vrabel and they're kind of buddy-buddy. And that one kind of makes more sense because they're a better football team than the Raiders, and they're kind of looking to make that next step. I don't personally think Tom Brady offers much more than what Ryan Tannehill gave him this year, but that's just one of the things I heard.
You know, like, why isn't Chicago in any of these conversations? I think it's, like, a big market, and they have, like, an offense that doesn't rely on passing the ball. I mean, like, they're pretty good, and, like, Trubisky has been awful. So, like, I don't know. It seems like the Titans, you could go there because their offense revolves around the run, and you don't really have to do much as Tom Brady. You just have to make some pretty clutch plays if you're behind, which, I mean, Tannehill didn't do an awful job, but, like, definitely not Tom Brady level, right?
Was Tom Brady even that good, though, last year?
I mean, yeah, he wasn't that good, but I mean, but like, I guess like Tannehill was Was Tannehill technically better, statistically better than him, like at the end of the season, or like through the entire season?
I think for that second half, he definitely was. Like, he definitely didn't throw the ball a lot, but he made like big throws and was that Titans offense was like the number one ranked offense or something like that, like headed down the straight stretch. And yeah, they obviously dominated in the playoffs until they got destroyed by the Chiefs, but they did beat the Patriots.
Well, I mean, if that offense can make Ryan Tannehill look really good, I guess Tom Brady wouldn't have to do very much more. I don't know. Is old-ass Brady, like, worse than Tannehill? I don't think so. I think he's definitely better than Trubisky. He's, like, could basically run that fucking offense for Nagy, who's the head coach of Chicago. I don't know. I could see, like, him or, like, Cam Newton going to Chicago. That'd be kind of cool.
What? Why would Cam Newton go there? I actually don't know what Carolina's going to do. I think they'll probably give Cam Newton one more shot. He's been injured for the past few years. I don't think they have a super high draft pick unless they get a pretty highly touted quarterback prospect this year. They're probably going to stick with Newton because we saw who was the backup that came in for Newton, gave them last year.
2019 or 18?
I'm talking about the quarterback that came in for Newton this year.
His last name is Allen. He was
Kyle Allen.
One of the five Allens that played last year. Quarterback Allens. I don't know.
And he was pretty average to bad. And yeah, so I still think Cam Newton's the man. Unless
I think they have a pretty high draft pick too. Let me look.
I mean, if they do, they could find someone. But unless they're getting like Tua, Herbert, or they're not going to get Joe Burrow. So I don't know.
I mean, I think there's enough quarterbacks in this draft. I mean, like, you could just throw the dice. That's essentially what they did last year, is draft a quarterback. Yeah, they have the 7th overall pick. I think you get like a good quarterback at that spot. I guess you could like draft one of the 100 really freaking good receivers too, I guess. And then like try to make your, I think they drafted Greer too, that guy out of West Virginia who was supposed to be pretty good too, but he was like the 3rd or 4th string quarterback on that team. So they got like young quarterbacks.
I could see him picking Tua if he falls to him. That's Tua or Herbert.
You got to go through a lot of teams without quarterbacks first. You got Miami, the Chargers, the Redskins, and Cincinnati before you. But I guess the Redskins are locked into Chase Young. So, because, like, there's no way Joe Burrow is making it to them.
Chase Young. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Ohio State guy.
Yeah,
that's like,
yeah.
Dummy
good. I thought you were talking about Dwayne Haskins, because I saw earlier in the week that they were considering taking a quarterback to come and compete with Dwayne Haskins.
Yeah, there's no way. Unless they have another pick somewhere around here. Let me just control F. They don't have another pick in the first round, so I don't think they're going to – I don't know. There might be a late quarterback that they could take and quote-unquote compete with Dwayne Haskins. Their team is so bad, I don't even – even if Dwayne Haskins was really, really good, I don't think they would really stand a chance in any kind of capacity. Except that division is awful, but.
You got the Cowboys there.
Oh, yeah. I got the Cowboys that they have to pay Dak. That goes into our next segment.
Are we still on the rewind? Or are we going on to the Dak Prescott?
I think we were at the. We cut off the rewind right when we hit Brady. That's not even like a topic. That's not even rewind. I thought we were off top. Well, bro. We don't have segments.
I wanna quick cover some of the NBA events that took place, because NBA has been popping as of late. LeBron's been making some noise. He recently took down the Clippers and the Bucks, and he had pretty good performances in both games. I think he put up 37 points against the Bucks and like 29 points against the Clippers. And he just kind of showed that him and Davis are kind of the top dogs right now. I think they kind of cemented themselves as the favorites, especially with these performances as of late. I mean, they're only like three or two games behind the Bucks for the best overall record in the league. And yeah, James is just having another sensational season at the age he's at. And he's like logging so many minutes, but he's like still improving his game, leading the league in assists. And he's really made the MVP a conversation again, because I think about like 3 or 2 weeks ago, you'd still say Giannis had it on lock, but LeBron's been creeping up on him. And if the Bucks kind of tail off here and you could throw the record out the window, it's a real conversation between LeBron and Giannis.
Yeah, if you look at Giannis's stats and you go purely off of stats, I don't think LeBron really comes close. But like as a team, like I think minus their top two guys, if you take the top two guys off both of those teams, the Bucks and the Lakers, I think the Bucks have a far superior team. So that could be a point against Giannis, that he just has a better team. Like they win without Giannis on the floor. Like they have crazy good defense. But if you just look at stats, Giannis wins by a mile. But if you just talk about sports and like narrative, LeBron like is always in the conversation. I think whenever LeBron is healthy, he's always in the conversation for like MVP. I don't think there's ever been a season where he's like fully healthy and played the majority of the season where he wasn't like at least top 10 like MVP conversation. That's not even talking like top two, just like always in the conversation.
He's always around in that like top five, and everybody's like, don't forget about LeBron. Everybody be sleeping on LeBron.
Yeah. I hate this like conversation every year that's like, oh shoot, LeBron should have like 90 freaking MVPs. He should win it every year. Whenever he's healthy, he should win it every year. I was like, there's so many like cool stories and like really good performances by everybody in the league. I don't know. It just seems like Steph's years or the James Harden year where he just literally scored 50 points for an entire month. And like, I don't know.
Yeah, just moving on to the Blazers' performances as of late. They've been pretty disappointing. They find themselves sliding back further in the standings. I think they're sitting like 6 to 7 games back of the Memphis Grizzlies. Is it time to write them off, or should we hang on for the return of the Bosnian Beast and possibly Zach Collins for us to make that late run?
I don't know, dude. Even if they come back, like this is like, I thought our season was kind of doomed the moment they got hurt, because even when they come back, like they're not going to be in game shape or anything. I think the lead has dropped too far away for us to, when we're getting beat by Aaron Baines dropping 27 points and 9 threes, like that's a game we should win. That's a game we can't drop. And we dropped the ball against what was the other bad team that we lost against? Oh boy.
I think the Sacramento Kings that we talked shit about last podcast.
Yeah. Okay, Kings. You're one of the smallest fan bases, so I don't really give it a rat's ass. But yeah, I just wish we were in the East, dude. We'd be cruising. We'd be cruising.
Yeah, the East is pretty bad.
But, the bottom three teams in the East are just, well, not the three teams. I guess the bottom two, the Nets and the Magic. Oh man, they're battling to get out of the lottery spot if they're in the West.
Yeah, we're sitting 4.5 games back, and 3-7 in our last 10. And Lillard's back, but I think he's still not completely healthy.
Yeah, we just need him to drop 50 points a game. That's essentially what we need out of him to like keep us in the game. Just to keep us in the game. That's how weak like our supporting cast is at this point. I think particularly on defense, we're just like, we don't know what to do.
Yeah, I read that Nurkic is going to play in a G League game, and then he is going to return, I believe, Saturday. And that would be a pretty fun to see him out there. I look forward to seeing how he's moving and if he's healthy and he kind of shows his form that he played at last year. towards the end of the season. If like, and that can just be a good thing for next season if he's healthy.
I think the biggest part with like those kind of injuries is that you can't really work out like as like you can't like build the mass or like keep in game shape. I think that's the biggest issue when you have like structural damage to your fucking foot. And I don't know if you watched that injury, but his like foot was at a 90 degree angle, like a protractor. And like, I don't know. It's so hard to work out when it's stuff like that. And like him coming back, and he's already had like conditioning issues because he's been hurt all the time. He looks pretty skinny. If you watch him on the sidelines, he's like a lot skinnier than he used to be, especially when he first came here.
Maybe that's good. You know, it's big frame. Maybe he's lighter.
Yeah, a little quicker on those pick and rolls.
Yeah, Collins still looks like a freaking Slender Man out there, but he's been moving around on the floor, and that'd be good to get him some reps towards the end of the season.
Looks like I don't want those chic models in like the 90s where they like wear those oversized suits and he has like really small sunglasses on. It looks like he should be in the Matrix.
Yeah, what I really noticed in that Phoenix game is just Whiteside is not good. Like, I don't care what the stats say, he is not a good defender. If he doesn't even put any effort into trying to like go out and contest threes. Like, he just stands in the paint hunting blocks and rebounds, but he doesn't actually play team defense. And yeah, it's just
if he was 6 inches shorter, he would just be a bad basketball player. He would just be he wouldn't be in the league like at all. Like, you could say that about a lot of people, but like the only thing he has going is size, and he just nothing that's out of his comfort. Like, he goes for, he just hunt. Yeah, like you said, he just hunts blocks. He just waits for like these smaller, or not even smaller, just like a forward down. Just waits for them to put up that layup and just smacks it off the backboard, and that's all he does. He doesn't even like go for the rebound sometimes, and they just put it back. Or yeah, he just. Everyone's shooting threes when they're down, so he just eats up all those rebounds and pads his stats. And then outside of that, the only points he gets is like wide open, like pick and roll stuff. He doesn't like play make at all. He looks like if he goes up at an actual defender or someone that's willing to hit him on the top of the head, like there's no way he's scoring a fucking point. He's looking to pass.
What do you think his player efficiency rating is?
God, fucking awful.
No,
it's pretty good.
He's ninth in the league, 25.08. That's just how deceptive stats can be sometimes. I don't care about that stat. He is not good.
That might make sense because like every time you watch him play, he'll have like 10 or 12 points purely just wide open pick and rolls because they're not even doing like high pick and rolls. They're just doing pick and rolls like within the paint and he does a wide open shot. Do you know what I mean? Does that make sense? He just has like, there's no one around him. The person, they get a mismatch and like the person's like a foot shorter than him and he just lays it in. But if he likes actually against a good defender, he's always looking to pass. He's always looking to pass, or he just puts up the weakest like floater ever seen.
He can't even pass that well. That's the thing with him. Like, he's not super effective. I guess the stats would say he's super effective, but he's not. Like, just watch a game and watch him put in an effort on defense. Like, he'll try if he's close to the play, but if it's like he has to like run and close out on a guy, he doesn't. He just like stands in the paint.
If there's like a 20 footer, like either someone's taking a deep two or a three, all he's thinking about is, damn, if I go and contest this and he misses it, I got to run all the way back to the hoop.
Yeah, I guess I'm a leader of the Whiteside hate club.
I'll be your first man. I'll be your best man at that wedding.
Nice.
Tying everything together, baby.
All right, let's circle back here. You had one more thing on the NFL you wanted to touch down. How much should Dak Prescott make? Is that a question to me or to you?
I guess in general, how much do you think he should make? I just told you like what Andy Dalton makes. Andy Dalton makes $16 million. Cam Newton makes $20 million. Get this. Nick Foles makes $22 million. And Joe Flacco is making $22 million as well. So he's in that range. Like, he's at least better than those guys. Jeez, there's a lot of bad quarterbacks still getting paid, man.
He's easily better than those guys. I'd say he's probably... I'd pay him like 25 to 30 million. That's just how much you got to pay like decent quarterbacks nowadays. Cause if you don't, you'll end up with a pretty mediocre quarterback, and he gives them a chance to win. He can make plays with his legs, and they were a pretty explosive offense for those first few weeks. I know their competition wasn't that great, but yeah, I think they found something with Amari Cooper there and they were figuring things out. And who's that other receiver? Michael Gallup was also pretty explosive for them. So I think they have a pretty dynamic like receiver pairing. And then Elliott's pretty good at catching the ball out of the backfield. And I just think you have to sign Prescott to make him happy to whatever deal.
Yeah, what does that do to that fan base too? Like one of the, I mean, easily one of the biggest fan bases in the world. Like this is your rookie player of the year. Everyone has Dak Prescott jerseys. And like, it seems so hard to like let him go, even though I don't think he's like, I don't know. Is he better than Kirk Cousins and Matt Stafford? Because that's like kind of the range and like talent level he's around, I guess. I don't know. Carson Wentz looked like he wasn't as good as he was touted, but his team was dealing with a bunch of injuries. Like he was basically throwing to like fourth string running receivers this year and running backs. Like, I don't know where to rank him, dude. That's such a hard decision. I guess there's like rumors that he wants like $34 million a year. And that would put him up there with like, I mean, Ben Roethlisberger is making $34 million a year. That's that's a half a million more than Jared Goff. That's a half a million more than Aaron Rodgers. Like, I don't know. Russell Wilson is the highest paid quarterback right now at $35 million a year. So
I would put Dak in my like top 12 quarterbacks. I mean, yeah, he's probably,
yeah,
he's like around that range, like you said, of Stafford and Cousins. I do think he is better than those guys. Stafford can be hot, but he also throws too many interceptions, in my opinion. And Kirk Cousins is just super inconsistent. And yeah, actually, Cousins had some good moments in the playoffs. I mean, he beat the Saints, but then he got torn apart by the Niners. But I think Dak's just decent. I don't know if he can take that next step. I think that's what maybe the Cowboys wanted to see a bit more from him, to make more of those like clutch throws down the stretch and be a like playmaker when the Cowboys are like playing from behind. Like, I don't know if that's what happened to the Cowboys. They just weren't able to like take away a lead, or they weren't able to play from behind. They usually, if they fell behind by like a couple touchdowns, that was pretty much it.
Yeah, I don't know. Like this goes into our next segment. I unironically think they should just trade Elliott. Like you could get so much money for Elliott right now. He's a healthy court running back. He's essentially never missed a game. He's rarely injured. He's like really good. Like if you lose Dak Prescott with the like quarterback market right now, like, I don't know, like you could be awful, like absolutely awful. They did terrible this year, but if you lose Dak Prescott, you're gonna be even worse. If you lose Elliott, I think you can salvage that, especially with like first round picks and maybe getting a few people back. I know he's like expensive, but would the Washington Redskins say no to like two first round picks and like one of their linebackers? I don't know.
This just in, the Dallas, I don't know if you guys saw this, but the Dallas Cowboys have set a new contract for Dak Prescott to the tune of $34 million annually with $105 guaranteed. This would place Prescott along Aaron Rodgers and Jared Goff.
Damn, he's got the leverage. if the Dallas Cowboys are throwing down $35 million, That's or 34 million. That's that means he's got the leverage. That means potentially he could throw back another offer like even higher than that. Wow, that's pretty crazy. How many years is that, Jackie?
I think that is for a 4-year contract. Let me read.
Well, was that offered or is that done deal? Or
he was offered that contract.
Well, I think he should take it. That's probably a pretty good deal.
He's guaranteed 26 and a quarter million a year. That's guaranteed for 4 years. So I guess like it's pretty incentive heavy. Like if he, I don't know, doesn't get injured and shit.
Yeah. And for comparison, Russell Wilson currently makes $35 million a year. And Ben Roethlisberger with the Pittsburgh Steelers is $34
million. Huh. That's interesting. I heard like the new CBA might get rid of the salary cap. So someone like the Dallas Cowboys could potentially spend more money than, I don't know, Tampa Bay, like as far as cap. It's not like a hard cap. I don't know if you know a lot about like the cap situations, but NBA teams, they can spend more than the cap, but you get taxed at a higher rate for every dollar you spend. And then in the NFL, you just simply can't go over that like cap budget. Like you just can't. So like teams are hard capped on spending money. You just have to get rid of players or get rid of money by trading them or just letting them go.
Yeah, going back to your point about Elliott, yeah, I definitely think they could afford to move on from him if they can't afford his next contract that's coming up or whatever he wants. Tony Pollard looked like a pretty decent running back and more than played the role of a pass catching back in that system. So I think the Cowboys could afford to move on from Elliott, especially with that pretty dominant line that they have. I don't know if it was as spectacular as it was in the years prior, but it's still a pretty like top 10 offensive line, and you could pretty much put any running back behind there and you're going to have success. So I don't know where Elliott would go. Like recency bias, like Lev Bell hasn't really panned out for the Jets. So paying a big, he's going to want big money, and it just never really works out because the teams that pay him big money usually aren't very good teams.
Yeah. Just to like play devil's advocate against my own point, like maybe team, all the teams kind of are leaning towards less expensive running backs and like more expensive quarterbacks, I guess. It seems like that's what the 49ers did, and that worked out pretty well for them. But that's also like scheme too, I guess you can factor in there. I think McCarthy is going to add something. I think he might want to like shake things up. I don't know if his relationship with the GM and how much they have to agree, but I think you could get, they've proven that they could like find good running back talent.
Let's move on to, I think this is the topic of the week, the coronavirus. It's taken the sports world by surprise, I guess. A lot of people or sports organizations are taking precautions against the virus. The NBA is stating that they might start limiting personnel from entering into locker rooms, like just keep it to everybody that actually needs to be in the locker room. And most recently, a couple soccer games have been played in empty stadiums in Italy, which is pretty weird. And then there is a pretty major tennis tournament canceled, the Indian Wells tennis tournament. And then the 2020 Tokyo Olympics could be in jeopardy. Just athletes taking a precaution, probably just not wanting to go participate in an event where massive amounts of people are going to go to one area, and it's going to be a pretty sticky situation for that. I definitely think the idea, there was also the possibility that NBA was going to stop having fans go to the games, which would be like crazy. I don't know if that was floated out by the NBA, but I just saw a quote from LeBron James that you'd be like, fuck no, I'm going to walk out and play basketball with no fans. That's why I play the game.
Yeah, no, that's kind of a weird statement. When it's probably going to be televised, it's going to be an empty stadium. That's it. I don't know. I
think
it's, I understand. I understand where he's coming from.
I think that would be crazy to watch like an NBA game and there's just no one there, no crowd roaring in the background. It just looks like you're watching like a scrimmage, essentially. Like you just have refs out there blowing whistles. It'd be so quiet. You don't only have like the announcers like talking about it.
Hey, how about this idea? It goes into our half-baked ideas. Why don't everybody call in like American Idol and just have their phone on speaker and you could just pipe in all the noise through like one like through the speakers. Just like how the like
Atlanta Falcons pipe noise into their stadium.
Yeah, I mean, like, would that be so crazy? I mean, if they're going to go full mask off with this no fans are coming to the stadium kind of thing.
That'd definitely be weird. I think it's a little ridiculous, but we still don't have a whole lot of info on the virus, and it's been spreading, like, pretty much everywhere. I don't know which country it was, but they put themselves on lockdown. I think it might have been... Let me see.
Sure, it was China because it was China had like one of the biggest lockdowns, but that was like ground zero for it.
Yeah, Italy put themselves on lockdown. Italy went on total lockdown.
Oh yeah, that explains like all the Italy stadiums and stuff like that. I know they were like pretty hit pretty hard by it, which I don't know how that works out, but I mean. I don't know if this makes much sense. I'm not like a doctor or anything, but I'm just looking up stats. It seems just like the heavy death count is just like old people, essentially. 60 years and up, it just, your lethality rate for this coronavirus is like astronomical. I mean, even 50 and up, it's like 1%. Like one out of every 100 people die from it if you're 60 or 50 and above. Yeah, and like it seems like young people just don't die from it very much. It's like a 0.2% of all the deaths have been like young people.
Do you think it's a time to start investing in stocks while the market starts tumbling down? Because the inevitable rebound, it might be the one positive thing.
Yeah, I mean, that's for sure. Yeah, that's, I mean, like, if you compare this to like the Ebola virus or like SARS and like 2008 and stuff like that, they eventually came out with a vaccine. So as much as your faith is in like it going away and creating a vaccine for sure, because like
what do you think? What do you think Corona the beer next marketing strategy should be?
They just put the vaccine in Corona, or Modelo does that. Hell yeah, fool. It's Modelo time.
I think you can get Corona like half off at a lot of places now, which I might go try to get some Corona beers. Got to build the immunity somehow.
Do you really think that's how you prevent Corona is drinking Corona?
It's better than doing nothing, you know?
I guess it has alcohol in it, right? Can viruses survive in alcohol?
I don't know. We had like in Seattle, there's just a lot of cases. UW has put their campus on lockdown. I guess they're doing a lot of their courses online, and which
heard
is a pretty
that, yeah.
yeah pretty smart move by them. I'm just wondering when it's gonna go to the next level, or if it's eventually gonna die down.
Yeah, I don't really know. I think it's gonna be much worse, but I think we could possibly like have a lockdown on like pretty like sensitive people, like older people, like protecting them more than like younger people like us. I think that's like what they're probably trying to do. I don't really know.
All right, going back to like more sports related, I guess, for the coronavirus.
Yeah, my PhD just ran out right there, dude.
How do you think it will affect the Tokyo Olympics? When is the Olympics stated to start? Let me see.
It's like the end of July or beginning of July, maybe? Or like, and then, well, maybe in August? I don't really
Friday,
know
July 24th.
Yeah, end of July, beginning of August. Yeah, I don't know. Like, Japan was, like, obviously, since their proximity to China, was probably hit pretty hard by the coronavirus. I know it's not as bad as, like, South Korea, but damn, like, why would you have millions of people fly to that country potentially getting coronavirus? Like, that seems like such a crazy fucking thing. And especially when, like, the vaccine is projected for, like, 1 year out, like, next year by, like, the earliest. I don't see why you don't just push it a year.
Yeah, that'd be pretty crazy if they canceled the Olympics.
Yeah, that would be, like, I mean, I don't know. It seems like that's something everyone is tuned into, so that probably gain a lot of traction. I mean, swinging it back to the NBA, like, all the best NBA players have to go to that thing too. Like, are they going to drop out? Like, are athletes, like, popular U.S. athletes going to be like, hey, nah, or, like, really good? Are we going to just see, like, the third or fourth string Olympic athletes go there if they still hold it? I don't know. Like, I'm imagining, like, swimmers would still go because, like, that's their time to shine. But NBA players are just like, hell no, I'm not even getting paid for this, really.
Yeah, I don't even think the Olympics has been that big a deal to most NBA players for a while now. Like, I don't think LeBron's been in the last few of them, or just some of the. It's usually, like, some up-and-coming players and maybe some stars here and there. But I know, like, Lillard hasn't even been able to make the team, which is pretty surprising.
I just think there's just so much talent. I mean, like, Lillard, his last 2 years was, like, first-team All-NBA. So I don't think back in 2016 he was on that level. Yeah, even though I probably think he was, like, talent-wise. But you got, like, people with, like, long tenured careers, and you got Coach K on that team, right? And
I think it was, like, I mean, Mitchell and Kimba Walker were the guard tandem in the Olympics.
Oh, that's the FIBA. That's the FIBA.
No. I think this was the
16.
I gotta check it out. 2016.
We even get gold that year then? Like, then that would mean in 2012 with, like, Kobe and, like, old Kobe.
2012 and, like, was the last good one. I think we lost in 2016.
We did? Oh, shoot. I don't even remember.
Let me check
that year was absolutely nutty for sports, by the way. That was, like, one of the best sports years of all time. We should do a podcast solely on that year in sports.
Well, yeah, that was a pretty good team. They had Jimmy Butler, Durant, DeAndre Jordan, Kyle Lowry, Harrison Barnes. I don't know how Harrison Barnes made it, but DeMar DeRozan, Kyrie Irving, Klay Thompson, DeMarcus Cousins, Paul George, and Green and Draymond. I think that was the year Paul George got hurt. I think he got hurt in the Olympic game, right? Because the stanchion really? Was too close.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Where he snapped his shin.
Yeah.
I remember that. Yeah, I think that was that year. And I think Harrison Barnes was coming off that win with the Warriors, and he got traded, or not got traded, he signed with the Mavericks that year.
Yeah.
I think that was that year when everyone was high on the Warriors, and Warriors were just undoubtedly the best team. I think that was the year, like, Kevin Durant was shopping around too, right?
Might have been. The U.S. won that year. Got to correct myself. Yeah, we were talking about FIBA, or you were right about FIBA, that the FIBA team lost in 2018.
Yeah, they didn't even come in, like, top three. It was, like, sixth place or something. A good talent in the world. It's, like, catching up, which would be actually kind of cool if, like, we really got to go head-to-head against some of, like, the best. Like, the world team this year would be just fucking crazy good. Got Embiid, Giannis.
What team does Jokic? I mean, no, Jokic plays for Serbia. Serbia. What team does? Gosh, why can't I?
Doncic.
Yeah.
I think he's born in, like, an Eastern European country, but then he played professional basketball for Spain in Real Madrid, and he knows, like, Spanish and stuff. But I mean, like, a lot of European people know multiple languages, so I don't think that's saying a lot. You know what I mean? You know what I mean, dude?
Says he moved to Madrid, so I'd assume he would play for Spain.
I think it's where you're born, right? And you could get like dual citizenship. He was born in like Lithuania.
Slovenia. Well, he played
Slovenia.
In Slovenia.
Yeah. That's where he was born, and he like played most of his career and well, like his young stuff, like as a kid. And then like at either 17 or 18, he went to Real Madrid, which is in Spain, and played professional basketball there.
Yeah, he would play for Slovenia, not Spain. But he's like ineligible, I guess. That's what I just looked up to play in the 2020 Olympics.
Because he's too young?
There's just some like qualification things.
Politics, baby.
Yeah, it's like FIBA's fault, I guess. But
really? That sucks.
I want to try a new segment here, and I'm going to call it Weak Ass Takes. So I think if I was in the playoffs, all I'd want LeBron James. I'd have him over Giannis, in my opinion. I could argue LeBron and Kawhi, but my weak ass take is that I'd take LeBron over Giannis in the playoffs.
That is a weak ass take, dude. Damn, dude. My weak ass take, huh? My weak ass take. Oh boy, you got me reeling, dude. I don't know.
Wow, that was weak.
I think Damian Lillard is objectively better than Kyrie.
That's just mediocre take. It's lukewarm.
That is a weak ass take, huh?
Yeah, it's pretty weak. You got any kind of spicy takes that might be weak takes?
Spicy takes. Ooh. Oh, man. Here's like one. Ooh, I got a spicy take. Actually, I don't know how this plays out, but I was listening to a podcast with Damian Lillard. He was talking to Quentin Richardson, their podcast. Anyway, it's like an NBA podcast where NBA players talk. And if LaMarcus Aldridge stayed with the Blazers, like just signed a big contract and just stayed, and we had CJ, Dame, and LaMarcus Aldridge all kind of in their prime, I think we go to the finals at least once.
It's okay.
A spicy take. It's like still lukewarm. It's right on the edge. It's like sriracha.
It's not sriracha. Bro, you ain't touching sriracha.
Sriracha is not even hot. That's what I was trying to say. That's like not even hot.
You maybe got a dab of Tabasco in like a big old bowl.
Is Tabasco less spicy than sriracha?
I got
a small microwaved cup of water.
With a dab of Tabasco in it. That's where I think you're at. Let's see.
we should do that. That should be our thing. Just get it spicier and spicier. Just throw a weak ass take, lukewarm and then spicy take. That was my lukewarm take. There you go.
I don't know if this is lukewarm or spicy, but Westbrook is the alpha on the Houston Rockets.
Oh, I strongly disagree with that. So that's like, I don't think I strongly disagree, but yeah, that's a lukewarm take. Was that your spicy, dude?
I don't know. Is it spicy? It's kind of spicy.
I think Westbrook has an alpha mentality and Harden doesn't have an outgoing, like aggressive personality. So I think behind the scenes, that might be incorrect. But just surface level, it could be correct. Does that make sense? Oh, I kind of have a question.
See,
I kind of
see like spicy takes, can be objectively just bad takes most of the time. Like, usually if you make them, they're just out of left field, in my opinion, you know?
Yeah.
That's a hot take. It's just, like, completely unwarranted. That's what makes a spicy take, I guess.
Okay, let's do spicy-ass takes. Here's my spicy-ass take. I think, man, this is not even spicy. God damn it. I'm really pushing this off, aren't I?
I don't know. I feel like the playoff picture is pretty straightforward at this point. I'm taking the Lakers, but that's not really spicy. So my spicy-ass take is that the Clippers are going to win the NBA championship.
And that's spicy. They're a fucking contender, dude. All right, here's my spicy take. It's not even NBA. I think Kirk Cousins is like the fourth best quarterback in the league right now. Right now. He's top five quarterback in the league right now. That's my spicy take. I don't even need to look at the standings. He's like the fourth best quarterback in the league. Go through all the quarterbacks. You can't name me three quarterbacks better than him. You really can't. With the playoff
record, I can't name three quarterbacks better than him.
Nah. Right Pat now, Holmes. This year, this upcoming Pat year, Holmes,
Andrew Luck, Russell Wilson. There's three.
Andrew Luck? You just no, said Andrew Luck.
I did not say. I said Aaron Rodgers, bro.
Oh no, Aaron Rodgers! Right now.
Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, Pat Mahomes.
Who do you think had a better year?
Way Aaron better Rogers? Than Kirk Cousins.
Who had a better year, Aaron Rodgers or Kirk Cousins?
Aaron Rodgers is just a better quarterback. I don't care about what the stats say.
I take right now. I take Kirk Cousins over Aaron.
You would
Rogers.
Not take
He's
Kirk
younger.
Cousins over Aaron Rodgers.
Yep. That's what
Lamar
I'm saying,
Jackson
dude.
Is
that's,
better than Kirk Cousins.
That's my spicy take.
It's fucking weak.
Spicy, dude. That's
it's not
like
spicy at all. It's
El Caliente.
This is stupid.
Man. And yours, you think yours was spicy? Dude, everyone is saying they're fucking the champion. You need a spicy
Joel
take.
Embiid. If Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons are healthy, the Sixers are winning the ship.
Oh, boy. That's not even... Okay. I guess that's a little more spicy. You added some sriracha in there.
Oh, this is your Kirk Cousins pick. You're like, RJ Barrett will win Rookie of the Year.
Hey, it's a spicy take, dude. I'm staying by it. I think Kirk Cousins is an above average quarterback.
Yeah, he's right around like the 10 to 15 range.
You could not name me eight quarterbacks better than Kirk Cousins. There's no fucking way.
I'll pull him up right now, bro. Let me see. Who we got? Ah, fuck, I don't have internet.
Who's better, Matt Ryan or Kirk Cousins? Because I'll tell you right now, it's fucking
Kirk
Cousins.
They're in that same tier.
All right, who's better, Carson Wentz or Kirk Cousins?
I'd take Carson Wentz. Hell, bro, I take Jameis Winston. I take Dak Prescott.
Dude, he can't even stay healthy.
I take you got Deshaun Watson. I take Kyler Murray. Brother, I take Gardner Minshew, bro.
You're like Matt Ryan and Kirk Cousins are in the same stratosphere, but you're going to go Gardner Minshew on me? Oh, my God, dude.
Yeah, G. Minshew.
Do you watch football?
Jimmy you have GQ? The worst take of all time, bro.
Jimmy GQ or Kirk Cousins?
You just said Kirk Cousins was the top four quarterback. He had done anything.
What do you mean? He's been in the playoffs the past 3 years.
Yeah, and he always loses.
He was like one play away from going to the, I don't know, the NFC Championship, question mark? He beat the Saints. Well, I guess he didn't, but he beat the Saints once.
As weak ass take. All right,
let's do the showdown.
Let's do the showdown, bro.
All right.
Theaters versus at home. So where do you want to watch a movie at? I heard you say that you wanted to watch it at home, so I'm going to let you go first.
Going at home? Can we flip a coin for this one? Because I can argue both.
Bro, you picked last week. You're like, dude, it's just better to watch it at home anyways.
All right. Well, let's go. All right, you going first or I'm going first? You want me to do a timer too? I could do a timer.
I'll just cut you off if you go too long.
I'll do 2 minutes. I don't trust you.
You went for like 5 minutes last time.
All right, then I'm not going for 5 minutes this time, dude. All right, 2 minutes. Sorry, I needed a burp. Oh, I'm doing it at home?
Yep.
All right, starting now. You can customize your home experience, dude. You can get whatever speakers you want, how loud you want it, where you want it. Like, you can watch whatever you want. You don't have to spend $20 for a ticket to go to a movie experience where you get a big screen, you get to sit by someone you don't like, and potentially screaming babies and phones. No one abides by the phone law anymore. If you're in a public theater that isn't like just throwing you out because you have your phone on, like, you're gonna get a phone. You're gonna have someone shooting text to their Tinder date. Like, it's so annoying to listen to those people. During the previews, everyone has a goddamn opinion about everything. During the movie, everyone's whispering. You gotta let that middle-aged dude walk back and forth because he's got a bladder infection. Like, come on, dude. And at home, you need to deal with none of that. You can watch whatever you want. All you gotta have is patience. All you have to do is wait for the good movie that you like to come out. That's it. Hello? That's it. God damn it. I was doing so good, dude. Hey.
Hello?
Yeah, what's up? You just interrupted my fucking speech.
Jason?
Yeah, can you hear me? I can hear you. You can't hear me. Check your headphones.
Hello?
Check your headphones. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, what happened?
God damn it. You right in the middle of my fucking speech, you're just like, oh.
It was pretty weak ass energy, bro.
I was getting so much energy. What are you talking about? Oh my God.
Weak ass take energy.
All right, I guess we're leaving this on because I'm not doing it again. I didn't even use the full 2 minutes.
Did you keep going?
I pretty much did all of it. We could just keep it in because it's kind of funny.
All right. We had Wi-Fi issues over here, so I didn't hear all that weak-ass energy Jason was bringing into that argument.
Okay, dude. You're about to argue $20 for a ticket to sit next to someone you don't like. All right. Go ahead, Chief. Hit me with your spicy take. El Caliente. Hit me with the habaneros.
All right. Do you ever remember a movie experience that you watched at home that was super enjoyable? When was the last time, Jason? Probably
every time.
When it's a good movie, you're going to the theaters because you gotta get your popcorn, you gotta get your big ass thing of soda, and you're gonna go get there a bit early because it's an event. It's 15, 20 bucks, you know, prices are high. But you know, that's why we work jobs nowadays, Jason. So we don't mind spending those big bucks. Then we get there a bit early. We go in with friends or family. You get those middle seats. And we prepare for the time of our lives. a 2-hour experience. A big ass screen that you can only dream of having if you make like millions of dollars. And then the lights dim. And whatever movie you're watching, usually you go research it beforehand so you know it's good. And then it's just on, baby. You get the best sound, the best picture, and you're enjoying it with complete strangers. You may not know them. You may not like them, but it doesn't matter. Everybody's just in for the ride of enjoying this motion picture. This has been an event with Marvel's Avengers series. Like, every movie's been sensational and everybody's laughing, everybody's having a good time. It just elevates the experience, especially for horror movies too, when the crowd's like into it. This was the case with like Get Out. That just made the movie a whole lot more fun, like hearing the crowd reactions and everybody freaking out to what's going on the screen. I just remember a whole lot more movies I've seen in theaters that, you know, stick with you for a long time. And then it's fine to go rewatch it at home, but you can't quite capture that experience that you had the first time when you saw it in theaters with your friend. Bro.
That's your 2 minutes, boy.
Jackie's out of here, so she can't judge this one, but I'm pretty sure I won.
Give myself the crown.
I'm pretty sure I won. You had some you had some weak ass energy and you caused connection issues.
My presentation.
You're lucky I didn't
I caused the connection issues. Okay.
Yeah. Jackie, are you here?
Yeah, finally. I fixed the internet.
All right. You didn't even hear our arguments, but who do you think won? We had theaters.
Yeah, who do you think won?
Versus watching at home. So
I was at home, by the way. So you should just do the logical thing.
Wait, question though. Question. If it's do you get to watch the same movie? Like, so if it was like a new released movie, would you be able to watch it at home, or is it only like the older, like you have to wait till it gets released movies to watch at home?
I mean, it's like real life, so yeah.
We just factored in like the experience of watching a movie at theater or at home. That's pretty much what we talked about.
What do you do more? Spend more time in the theater or at home?
So,
such a stupid question.
So I'm gonna. Jason, you're the one that chose at home, right?
Yurt.
So I'm gonna side with Jason, and here's why. Because single time I go to a movie theater, something happens. The last time Trey and I went to a movie theater, some guy puked in the seat right next to me. Trey was on the other side, so he didn't even realize it. But I had to be sitting next to puke the whole entire
time. The ignorance,
time.
In his opinion.
Oh, my gosh. They
shit in complete ignorance.
Oh, my gosh.
Privilege.
And the time after that, people keep yelling. There's like always obnoxious people. The time Trey and I went to, what did we go see? We went to go
it's
see.
Part of the experience, baby.
You hear that, Trey? It's me drinking tea, dude.
That did not sound like you're drinking tea, okay? It's pretty disgusting what you just made. Well, Jackie, I guess you just don't enjoy going to the theaters. That's just part of the.
Even go.
That's just part of the factor. It's part of the fun. You know, you never know what you're gonna get. You never know if you're gonna get the kid that's gonna start yelling randomly.
The guy that didn't sit next to the puke the whole entire movie. He puked during the trailers.
How was I supposed to know? You didn't tell me.
Because the more I thought about it, the more I would puke. So I was just like, it's not puke. He just like spilt water or something, and they had to go leave.
Was
like,
this
that?
Was this at Bad Boys for Life?
No, that was in the 21 and older one. This one was, I think it was the last Star Wars movie. Yeah, it was the last Star Wars movie.
Damn, he had too much blue milk, you know what I mean?
All right. We got anything for last call? This episode's been hanging by a thread.
Who's the best internet provider?
Not ours.
I think Xfinity is pretty good. What do you think?
They've gotten better. I don't know. Like, Xfinity's gotten better since there's like more competition, but it's still like, I don't know. The customer service
what
is
was
like
the
better.
What was the shitty provider we had in Pullman with that first year?
It was Spectrum. We had Spectrum.
Spectrum
Frontier,
was later.
Yeah.
I think it was Frontier, yeah. Frontier years.
Oh, they had the Shack.
Shit company.
where they were based out of that shack. It was literally a barn that they did something to and just made an office. It's actually kind
of
cool.
Yeah, the only problem of,
shitty.
Only problem with Spectrum was it was like a pretty far drive away. It was like right next to the car dealership. It was pretty random where they placed that place.
Yeah, I don't. It's like right in between Washington, Idaho. It's like they put it right on the middle.
All right. Well, do you think Gardner Minshew is the starting quarterback next year for the Jaguars?
Fuck yeah, dude. And some dumb team is going to – they're going to trade Foles. Well, maybe they'll trade Foles. They're going to trade Foles to some fucking Super Bowl contender, and he's going to turn into Big Nick. He's going to Metroid Prime turn into fucking Big Dick Nick again, and it's going to be so much fun.
I think what you got to do with Nick Foles is just – you know, you keep them stored away for like until like week 11 of the NFL season. That's when you bring him in, and then he just leads you on that crazy run. You can't play him too early, or he'll get hurt or play bad and lose confidence. So you got to bring him on later in the year. Just keep him on the reserves. Maybe that's what the Ravens should do, like play Lamar Jackson for the whole regular season and then bring in Nick, Big Dick Nick, for the playoff run.
I think their game plan going into those games is just don't hurt Lamar Jackson, because you're going to eventually play Big Dick Nick, you know what I mean?
Yeah, got to play.
No big hits on Lamar Jackson. No big hits. We don't want to face Big Dick Nick. He's going to
can't bring him in too early.
On top of that. Bam, bam.
All right, but I think we can close out the show.
Hey, producer Jackie here. Thank you for listening to the Hall of Lame podcast. Please like, subscribe, and leave a review, and probably tell a friend or two about this show. Follow us on Twitter at The Hall of Lame. We're now available on 7 podcast platforms, including Apple and Spotify. Thanks for tuning in.
Connection issues aside, I think it was
okay. I think it was a good episode. We got some spicy takes. We got some back and forth. I won the debate, so I think it's a pretty good episode, dude.
I think Jackie was pretty biased. She just had some bad experiences recently.
Yeah. The establishment went against the establishment. That's how I see it, dude. I was an underdog in that one.
I don't even know what you're saying at this point, bro.
All right, see you later, guys.